Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, this is Lauren Bowles. You know I play Holly, the new waitress at Merlot's on HBO's True Blood, right? All right, here's the deal. I'd rather spend all night with them damn bloodsuckers than another minute listening to that Mr. Media radio. No thanks.
Chat About It, the new interactive internet radio station of the future. Chataboutit.com.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today on iPhones, Android, Palm, and BlackBerry by the Stitcher app for mobile devices, and brought to you today by 1-800-DIALDJs.com. If you need live entertainment for your party, wedding, bar mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Philadelphia metro areas, check out 1-800-DIALDJs.com or call 1-800-DIALDJs.com for a real good time. So, where was I before the commercial? Right. Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and home of the late-night TV horror movie show host, Dr. Paul Bearer, Tampa Bay, Florida. So the whole vampire chic thing kind of passed me by. Not just the Twilight movies and the HBO series True Blood either. I never got hooked on Joss Whedon's Buffy the Vampire series either. Vampires? Yuck. I think the last vampire movie I enjoyed was the Dracula remake starring Frank Langella back in about 1980. And I only liked that because I worked at a movie theater in college, the Royal Park Cinemas 4, if you were there, in Gainesville, Florida, and during opening weekend, many of the guys taking tickets were dressed as vampires and could get away with lots of heavy breathing and biting pretty young girls on the neck, gently. So I was surprised how quickly I devoured the first four books in Heather Brewer's five-book young adult series, The Chronicles of Vladimir Todd. Heather and I share a literary agent, Michael Barrett, and he recommended the series. Now, I trust him with my career, so trusting him with suggestions for my free time seemed just as reasonable. And, as usual, Michael was right. Now, we meet Vladimir Todd in the eighth grade, a half-human, half-vampire, trying to find his way in the world of middle schoolers. Now, having a daughter in eighth grade naturally heightened my own interest, but these are damn good stories, vampires or not. Now, I've got a short clip here of Heather Brewer talking about Vladimir Todd. Listen to this.
10th Grade Bleeds is my favorite Vlad book yet. It has the most blood. It has the most action. It has the most fight scenes. It's got the most romance. It has the most of everything. If you like Vladimir Todd, you're going to love 10th Grade Bleeds.
Okay, I guess we
don't. The Chronicles of Vladimir Todd is...
Well, let's just skip ahead then. Heather literally just finished the fifth and final book in the series, and I look forward to hearing about that and some other potentially explosive news that her fans will enjoy. You can learn more about Heather on her website, www.heatherbrewer.com. Heather, welcome to Mr. Media.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to talk to you. How you been?
Oh, I've been good. I've been busy.
That's what I hear.
I actually just wrapped up the final edits on 12th Grade Kills, the fifth book in The Chronicles of Vladimir Todd, so I'm tired, but I'm happy.
Well, and I was going to say, congratulations, first of all, on the on the success of the first four books, but even more so, I know that this last book has been like giving birth, from what I hear.
It's definitely been like giving birth to eight children at once, you know? I think it's kind of stressful to finish up a series sometimes, and sometimes it takes a little bit of time to find out where you're really going with it. So I made it.
Did it give you kind of a newfound respect if you didn't already for J.K. Rowling wrapping up the Potter series?
Oh, absolutely. And it also made me say, you know, I never want to finish another series again. I'll just keep writing the books.
Did it always? Now you start with eighth grade, and I think we're if you are catching this on video, if you watch your screen during the course of this half hour, you should be able to see the book jackets that go along with the Vladimir Todd series. They're very cool, very minimal, and very cool. But the books start in eighth grade, then ninth grade, 10th, 11th, and the next book, the final book, will be 12th grade. But did you always intend it to be a five-book series? That's pretty ambitious, if so.
I knew it would be a five-book series because when I had the idea for the story, I knew how it would begin, I knew how it would end, I knew major points that I wanted to happen throughout the story. And I said, well, how long is it going to take me to get there? And I said, well, it's going to take at least five books. So I wanted it to be a school-based series. And so I just basically counted backwards, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And initially, he was actually 14 when the series started. And then they said, you know, my editor said, now he's 13. And I'm like, all right. You know how that happens.
So you added to his life a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and it actually works out really well because 13 is my lucky number. So, you know, I've had a lot of luck with Vlad.
What was it that made the final book so challenging, though? I mean, you'd written four. You obviously, anyone who's read these knows how intimately you know these characters and what they're all about.
Well, see, that's exactly, I think, the problem. When you know characters really well, they become a part of you, and they become a part of your life. And the very idea of letting go of those characters, because you're friends with them. I know Vlad, and he's always there in the back of my head. And mm-hmm. commenting on things and snarking on things, and to know that I was going to end his story forever, it's just a little daunting. So I knew the things that I wanted to say in the story, but going about how to say them took me a long time with this one, but I'm very, very happy with the way it turned out.
Now, I'm a little concerned because you just said you were going to end his story forever.
Now, see, everybody wants to know, too. They all ask me, is Vlad going to live? Are you going to kill him? And I'm like, well, you'll see.
I mean, and that was the big guessing game with the last Potter book. Was Rowling going to, you know, kill him off or let him live? And, well, he lived, as I recall.
And my whole tagline has been from the beginning that I don't believe in happy endings unless they involve blood. So everyone will just have to wait and see if Vlad makes it.
So even if I told you that no one's listening right now, you wouldn't just tell me you knew.
Oh, I totally wouldn't spill it at all. There are very few people in this world that know how the book turns out. My husband, Michael, our agent, of course, and my editor. That's it.
If you don't mind me asking, what is it, because I know that you thought that you were done several times in the process, without getting into the story details or, you know, too much, can you give us kind of some insight into what, you know, made the book keep coming back to you, why you had to keep working on it?
Well, I changed the way that I wrote for some strange reason, because normally I write from beginning to end. I can't write, you know, certain scenes or anything like that. I have to start at the beginning and go all the way through as if I'm reading a story. And for some reason this time, I wrote the last half of the book first. I think I was just anxious to get to it. So I wrote the last half of the book first, and then I wrote the first half of the book last, but I didn't write it, you know, chapter one, chapter two. I kind of bounced around chapter three, then chapter one, then chapter seven. And it really screwed with the way that I normally write, so I think that kind of had an effect on the manuscript, but I figured my way through eventually with a little guidance.
Were you ever concerned that it was not going to turn out the way you envisioned because
of that? Absolutely. Absolutely. This has been the book that I've been building up to, the one I've been dying to write, knowing how it was going to go, knowing this is what I want to really write about, but I have to get through these first four books first. And then I sat down to write it, and it didn't go well. And then, plus, in the middle, I changed editors. So, you know, different editors have a different point of view and a different way of looking at books. And so I got a whole new set of questions, and that made me question myself, and it's been a long road, Bob.
I cannot imagine. And folks, if you haven't read these books, you really should. It's you know, they have the young adult fiction tag on them because they are intended, you know, obviously they're for kids that are, I mean, eighth grade through senior in high school. But it's very mature writing. I mean, it's not, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Although there's a little bit of that. But it's just really compelling stories. I mean, my daughter started reading the books first, my 13-and-a-half-year-old, and she was just like, you got to get started on this. And we got all four at the same time, and she read one a day for 4 days, basically. And I thought, what is in there? What, I mean, you know, is it releasing some kind of a drug on her? Why, you know, I mean, that was the pace she went through the Potter books. And, you know, then I read them. It's just, it's good stuff for anybody. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Well, you know, there are a lot of vampire books out there now, and they all seem to tell the same story. They tell the story of the girl that falls in love with a handsome vampire. And Vlad isn't like that. He's just a teenage boy that happens to thirst for blood and have fangs. And he's really immensely unpopular, and he's just going through his life and looking for acceptance. And I think that that's something that really appeals to everyone at any age, you know, whether you're a tween, you're a teen, you're an adult. That's something that we all want. We all just want to be accepted for who we are. And luckily, you know, with that connection, I'm connecting with my minions, you know. I don't have fans. I have minions.
I noticed that. I know there's references on heatherbrewer.com to your minions. how many of them have you taken a bite out of to have them committed to you?
I'll never tell. No, we have a really good time, you know. They love being called my minions, and collectively they're the minion horde. And the great thing is when you have minions, you can send them forth to do your bidding.
Mm-hmm.
And my bidding is go and create other minions and get them to read my books. So it's working.
You're devious.
I like to call it crafty.
Crafty. Okay, we'll go with crafty. When you do a series about vampires, you know, if you did one book, you might be able to just get away with throwing out a couple things and making it very Bela Lugosi and not have to hew to any particular details. But what I'm curious about is how much did you create out of whole cloth about what vampires are about, and how much did you research? I mean, it's not like there's, well, who knows? It's not like there's real vampires out there that we can study, but you make this case. I don't want to give it away, but I mean, you create this whole nation of secret vampires and slayers, and you know, how much of that is taken from research? How much is taken from your imagination?
Well, for me, I've always been fascinated by vampires, and not just like the vampires in fiction, but vampire lore, the history of where it came from. Why did people at one point in time believe that vampires were real? And so some of the lore is just really stupid. Like, there's this one story that says, vampires can't cross running water. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense, because how do vampires travel? So for me, poking fun at some of the vampire lore really was a big part of creating this world and asking myself, what if vampires were real? How would they live in our world? How would they live amongst us? And what would their rules be? They have to have laws. You know, because I'd imagined that they were really just a sect of society.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just took a little bit of imagination and reaching back into the vampire lore, but I like to think I got it pretty close, if there really are vampires out there somewhere.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with Heather Brewer, author of the Chronicles of Vladimir Todd series for young vampires. I'm sorry, I mean for young adults. That's right. We'll be right back.
I'm Mark Sanchez with a message for women. This is the actual sound of my heartbeat. I'm sharing my heart to let you know that the symptoms of women's heart attacks can be different from men's. Please learn more. All it takes is a few minutes of your time in return for years of healthy life. That's a deal even my agent couldn't negotiate. Cover your heart. Learn more. CBS Cares.
Thank you. The new free CBS Radio app streams your favorite CBS radio stations, as well as all your favorite AOL and Yahoo music stations, directly to your iPhone, iPod Touch, and BlackBerry Bold. With 30 genres of professionally programmed stations at your fingertips, you can hear whatever you want, whenever you want. Stations like K-Rock, 1010 Winds, WFAN, AMP, and over 600 others. Now you can easily take your favorite stations with you on the go. The CBS Radio app is everything you wanted from streaming radio and a whole lot more. Go to cbsradio.com/mobile to download your app today.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with Heather Brewer, author of The Chronicles of Vladimir Todd series for young adults. Now, earlier in the show, I had started to a short video clip. I want to go back to that because I inadvertently stepped on it before. So this is a short video of Heather Brewer explaining a little bit about The Chronicles of Vladimir Todd.
10th Grade Bleeds is my favorite Vlad book yet. It has the most blood, it has the most action, it has the most fight scenes. It's got the most romance, it has the most of everything. If you like Vladimir Todd, you're gonna love 10th Grade Bleeds. The Chronicles of Vladimir Todd is primarily, I would not say it's a vampire series. I would say it's a series about a boy named Vlad Todd. Vlad is just like any other boy. He's awkward, he's shy, he doesn't know how to talk to girls, bullies pick on him, he's failing math, and he happens to drink blood. I've always been drawn to darker things. I've always been drawn to things that aren't the norm, things that are more in an outcast setting. And I think that that comes from me being an outcast growing up, because I was very unpopular in a very, very small town. I grew up in a town population, 814 people. I was the least popular person in that town, picked on daily, so I was certainly an outcast. And so when I look for things to read, I look for outcast characters. I think that that's something that my readers look for as well.
Heather, I understand you may have some big post-Vladimir Todd plans, and I didn't run this by you ahead of time, so I don't know if you can talk about this or not.
I can talk a little bit about it because everything's all signed, sealed, and, well, soon to be delivered. But, yeah, I do have some big post-Vlad plans. For one, I have a spin-off series from the Vladimir Todd series, and it's going to be called The Slayer Journals. It's going to be about a certain character from Ninth Grade Slave. I don't want to say who it is because it could give away secrets if you haven't read that book. But there will be 5 books in that series, and it starts September of 2011. And then I have a different series called Bloodbound, and that one's a little bit different. It's about a girl and basically these horrible monsters she has to face and these secrets she has to uncover in this strange world. But that will start in October of 2011, so Fall of 11 is going to be very, very busy for me.
I see. Now, how many of these books are done, or have you not started yet?
I'm actually writing both of the first books of those series right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's scary. They're actually due on the exact same day, too, so it's kind of funny.
It's weird. Now, has Hollywood come calling about the Vladimir Todd series?
Well, I don't know if Hollywood's calling yet, but they might be knocking on the door. I really can't talk too much about it, but hopefully there will be some very, very good news to share with my minions soon.
Very good. You know, in the book, one of the things that struck me early on
And it's one of the few things that threw me a little bit off is that there are references in the book to locations that seem to reference old vampire movies. And I wondered if looking back, if that was, you know, if that was kind of a mistake, or, you know, why would places in town be named that way? Just coincidence? I don't know.
I love throwbacks. I am a huge fan of throwbacks. And whenever I read stuff, like if you read Stephen King, there are certain things that come back in different stories that aren't attached. Like Bob Gray, who was Pennywise, appears both, of course, in It, and he also appears in Dreamcatcher. Little tiny throwbacks like that, just they tickle me pink. And for me, I wanted to give throwbacks to the vampires of old, you know what I mean, to the fictional vampires that really just made me very happy when I was younger. And so naming the town Bathory after Elizabeth Bathory felt very natural to me. Naming the street Lugosi Trail after Bela Lugosi, of course, was just one of those little thank yous from me. And, you know, some people have said that they didn't care for it. Most of the minions have said that they love it, and they love looking for all of those things because they're kind of hidden throughout the book. Some of them are a little more obvious than others.
Mm. And there is a character whose name seems to be a bit of a bow to a television vampire.
Yeah, and you're totally right on that. It absolutely is.
Yeah. We won't go into that. I don't want to give anything away. But people who've read it know what we're talking about. And people who haven't will now have to go out and read the books.
Okay.
One of the things I really liked is you handle relationships. Well, first of all, you know, I almost forgot about this. The main character, Vladimir Todd, is a young man. You, to the best of my knowledge, have never been a young man. And I thought, my first thought after, I think by the second book was, I thought, wow, how does she know what's going on in a preteen teen boy's mind so well? And then you handle the relationships between this boy and the rest of the world. Really, just, you know, I don't know where you get that from.
Well, for me, I think that relationships are everything, no matter who you are. It's how you interact with your friends and your enemies that really shapes your life. And just because Vlad happens to have fangs doesn't mean that he doesn't have feelings. And so the way he interacts with, like, say, his best friend Henry, of course, is very different than the way he interacts with other vampires or with the pretty girl in class. And so it just was very natural for me because I feel like I'm part Vlad. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That part of me that never felt like I belonged anywhere, that's Vlad. And so, you know, it's just another reason he doesn't fit in anywhere is because, you know, he's got fangs, so he doesn't fit into the human world. But then he's also half-human, so he doesn't fit in with the vampires. So that internal struggle really, I think, makes him pretty universal.
Hmm. Now, one more question before we let you go. I know you don't refer to your fans as fans, but as minions. I imagine you get some very interesting minion mail.
Oh, yes. Actually, several times a week, I get emails from vampires that tell me I've gotten the story pretty close to the real thing. So, I don't know if they're actually vampires, but just in case they are, I make sure that I read them all and take them to heart.
Got it. Well, folks, listen, you can find the first four books in Heather Brewer's hit series, The Chronicles of Vladimir Todd, at great bookstores everywhere, or, of course, you can order it online at mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. Oh, you know, I didn't even ask you. I'm assuming, I think, that the final book will be out in December, or is it later than that?
No, 12th Grade Kills is actually going to come out on my birthday, September 21st, 2010.
Oh, my daughter is going to be excited. Her birthday is September 25th.
Cool!
So there you go, Rachel. Happy early birthday. That'll save me a lot of money. I can afford one of Heather's books. And, folks, one more thing. You can learn more about what's going on in the life and career of Heather Brewer at her website, www.heatherbrewer.com. And, Heather, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to spend time with you, and I expect we will probably talk again.
Thanks so much, Bob. I had a great time.
Thank you. Best of luck.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And for more original interviews with young adult novelists, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Lisa McMahon, James Dashner, C.
Sarazar, and many more. And you can now hear Mr. Media while you're on the go with Stitcher Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile application. The latest episode of Mr. Media is always available for you there. No syncing needed, no memory wasted. It's available for your iPhone, your Palm Pre, Android phones, or your BlackBerry. Downloading is easy, so go to Stitcher.com or check out the App Store for your individual mobile phone. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media Radio listeners. Go to www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia for your free audiobook. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in most locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. And you can follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman or www.facebook.com/andelman. Thank you so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and come spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.
I've appeared on TV shows such as Mad Men, Lost, and Weeds. I actually have a real career. So what the heck am I doing on Mr. Media Radio with Bob Andelman? Somebody get my agent on the phone right now!